Hey, and welcome to Fit Me Turo Fitness Podcast, a podcast for people who want to get no BS information about fitness and know that fitness is about so much more than losing scale weight. It's about feeling confident in your skin and empowered in your life. I'm your host, Turo Virta, personal trainer, strength and nutrition coach, and most of all, a husband of my beautiful wife, Miriam. Each week, my guests and me will give you some no BS fitness tips and motivate you to take action in your own personal fitness journey as we talk about nutrition, exercise, mindset, personal development, and executing in life with enjoyable but still effective strategies. If your goal is to look better, feel and be strong, and experience transformation from inside out, you, my friend, are in the right place. Thank you for jumping in, and now let's jump into today's episode. Hey, and welcome to this week's Fit Me Turo Fitness Podcast. In today's episode, I'm talking about five habits I wish I knew before I got into fitness. And with these five habits, they have helped me to maintain my weight and become healthiest version of myself at the age of 42. So before jumping into this episode, these are kind of things that I really didn't know, or maybe I have heard of these before, but I really didn't pay attention, or I didn't incorporate this into my daily life. And now within the past 7-8 years, I have been including them, not the, obviously everything at the same time, but step by step. And these things have really helped me to become the healthiest version, feeling the best I have ever felt in my life at the age of 42. And these have nothing to do with counting calories or becoming really obsessive with fitness, but just the simple habits that you can also include into your life. So let's get started with the list. And number one must be in this list is walking. So walking, I used to think that walking is not, it's not really exercise. It's not counting because you don't burn calories. It doesn't feel that hard. And I didn't count it as an exercise, but now I have included, especially lately for the past 2-3 years, really paid attention about my amount of steps, amount of walks, and I'm not tracking my steps every single day. But if I look back, I just recently looked back my averages, how many steps I take on average. And my averages are, random number doesn't have nothing to do with your activity, but I have between 12 to 18,000 steps in a day. And what I see trend is basically in summertime or in springtime, when the weather is starting to get nicer, I have on average a lot more steps than in colder months, or when we have here in Italy, it's very hot time in summer. Obviously at the time I'm not walking that much as I'm doing when weather is nice, so obviously that has something to do, but it's still kind of having that bare minimum even in those times and finding a ways, like you don't have to necessarily get those steps outside. I personally, it helps so much, especially if you get you have a possibility to get the fresh air, sunlight, and even there is a cloudy weather, you still get some sunlight exposure through the cloud. So that helps, especially with the mental health. And obviously, it's a way to keep kind of my mental health in balance. I love to go to walk with my wife. I enjoy spending time with her, and our daily walks, or if it doesn't happen every single day, several times a week, it's our time for our relationship to kind of talk things. It's time when we don't watch phones or listen something. It's when we talk what have happened in a day, what sorrows, what is going well, and kind of just spending time together. And that is also for our relationship has been the game changer. And I think that's why we have such a great relationship, because we really take time for us. Like, we don't go for date nights or something. Our time together is literally just a daily simple walk. And it could be, it's some days it's a 10 minutes, some days it's a 30 minutes, maybe on Sundays it's a couple hours or 3-4 hours, but just basically just spending time together. So how I try to incorporate this into life. Either if I don't have a workout, I usually walk in the morning. And then other thing, what I really enjoy after lunch, I try to get 10-minute walk. Some days it's 20 minutes, but per minimum 5 to 10 minute walk right after lunch. So getting it helps with the digestion. And it also, even it's only for a couple of minutes, but it helps so much with getting that activity level higher amount of steps. And then also I'm thinking, like, if I'm having a phone calls, if I'm doing group sessions, I try to walk during those times as much as possible, getting like with the purpose some steps in. And that has helped me to increase activity outside of my workouts. And that those are kind of things like thinking possibilities where you could be walking. Do you need to sit? Can you get up? Can you do 5 minute, 10 minute walk? Because it's especially for me, even it's sometimes it's a very busy, hectic time in front of computer. And if I try to get work done for several hours in a row, I'm not going to be as productive as I take in between 10-15 minute break and go for a walk, fresh air, and just get my brain out of the work and then get cut back on it. So it's it helps with the productivity too. So even you are spending less time in front of your computer, you are at least I'm a lot more productive during that time when I include some kind of breaks between my working hours. So then number two, it's getting enough protein and fiber. So I'm pretty sure most of us, most of you have heard about the importance of protein. Still, there are still so many people who don't understand what it means to eat, how much protein you are actually required, what are like kind of recommendations, what you should be getting and what you are actually eating. Because many people, they know that what are sources of protein. Like you can, I'm sure you have heard about Greek yogurt, skyr, or eggs or meat or fish. So there is no really surprises, I assume. But then what I have seen with many clients that they don't really know how much they are eating. So if you think like that, what is bare minimum, or what I like to like, especially if you're interested about your body composition, 1.5 grams per kilo body weight is the minimum. Like if you look official like recommendations from WHO, they might say even 1 gram per kilo body weight or 0.8, which is, what is the difference? Because the difference is that with that amount, you are staying alive. And if you want to feel the best version of yourself, and if you are interested about maintaining your muscle, changing your body composition, or even maintaining it, it's those requirements are a lot higher. And that 1.5 grams per kilo body weight. So for example, if you weigh 70 kilos, it's around 100 grams, a bit more. And that is kind of bare minimum recommendations, or 1.6 to 2.2. I feel like that if you get that 1.5, it's pretty good already, and you will feel significant differences and improvements. And if you obviously if you aim for higher, especially in a calorie deficit, more protein you are getting in, easier that calorie deficit is going to be. So protein is definitely very, very important for body composition, maintaining your muscle mass, especially when dieting or trying to build muscle mass. So protein, and to becoming aware how much you are eating. So knowing like that one egg is 7 grams of protein. So if your goal is to eat 100 grams and you are eating 1 or 2 eggs per day, you still need a lot of other protein sources to hit your goal. Then other thing is that the fiber, and that is something what many people are not listening. There is a big correlation between colon cancer, other health benefits, gut health, and how you are going to feel. It's also making, with the protein, is the most satiating macronutrient and making you keep full. And how I incorporate these things, like what is fiber recommendations, is 14 grams of fiber per 1,000 calories you are consuming. So if your maintenance calories or what you are eating is 2,000, it's 28 grams. And that is like for most women, and for men, like for myself, if my maintenance calories are around 3,000, 2,500, somewhere there, depending on my activity levels, but it's aiming for 42 calories, 42 grams of protein, so no fiber, sorry. And I'm not tracking them accurately. It's those are kind of, I count them in my head, and I have built my habits, how I do them, how I get the bare minimum. Like for example, for protein, I'm kind of person, I eat same foods, especially in the earlier in the day, and my breakfast, I have always same protein sources. So I have 250 grams of Greek yogurt. I mix added a scoop of unflavored protein powder. So I have around 50 grams of protein for my breakfast. I will have usually 2 to 3 pieces of fruit already in my breakfast smoothie, what I make every single day. So how to get your fiber is basically, it's all what are good sources. Fruits are great sources of fiber, all kind of like a whole grain products, all vegetables, salads, beans, seeds, this kind of stuff. And this is how I add like just around 10 grams of some kind of seeds, like sometimes it's pumpkin seeds, sometimes it's chia seeds. So some kind of seeds into my protein smoothie. And then obviously I try to eat one big salad per day. So, and aiming to have some, at least some source of vegetables. So these are kind of my habits, how I get that pretty close to my fiber goal and also protein goal. So even in my worst days and after my breakfast, I try to aim for 20 grams of protein snack, and that I change basically every single day. Sometimes I have a second protein shake if I don't have a possibility to take. It's obviously a lot better to have it from natural food sources. Other my favorite protein sources are cottage cheese. That we have here some great cheese. What I love, it's some people don't enjoy the taste. I'm a weird person. I enjoy it actually, and sometimes it's a can of tuna. But that doesn't happen often. But usually it's those kind of things what I like to do. And with these habits what I have, so basically I start my day with a high protein. And I have in my worst day, like I weigh at the moment around 88, 90 kilos. So my goal is to get that around 140, 150 grams every single day. And when I know that with my habits, what I have 70 grams of protein already before my lunch. So it helps me that I'm lucky, most likely eating a lot less calories in my lunch. I'm feeling already fuller. I don't need to eat that much. So, and then if I have for my lunch, for my snacks, for my dinner, it's relatively easy to get that another 70 grams. So if I have, I just make sure that I have some source of protein at every meal. So I have there, it's that 25 grams per meal, and then maybe I have another snack with 20 grams. So that is kind of, and even if it doesn't happen every single day, I still have that 120, 140 grams basically every single day, and same thing with the fiber. So even in my worst days, even I don't count them accurately, I still do get pretty good bare minimum every single day, even in my worst days. So this is habit number two. Habit number three, I would say that is mobility exercises. So I'm a big believer of mobility exercises. I used to think, like, I'm born in 82, so at the time it was all about stretching, and you never heard about somebody talking about mobility exercises. And stretching is obviously is a great, it's improving. What is the difference? It's helping your flexibility, but mobility is kind of for joint mobility and joint, trying to increase range of motion in your joints, like your knees, elbows, shoulders, hips, ankle. And usually those are the things what are causing for me was my lack of my hip mobility was causing a lot of lower back pain, and I see from many clients that ankle mobility is causing knee pain, and it's not always that, because you have to find the reason. If you are struggling, you are having some knee issues, you have lower back pain, for example, it's usually not necessarily your knees what are problem. It's it often it comes from lacking mobility in your ankles. And same thing with the lower back pain. It's often the reason is hip mobility. But first of all, you have to get know where it's coming from if you are lacking mobility. And that's why I loved, and my clients have loved, my new brand new mobility guide, what I have for my clients in my membership coaching. Like all these guys, I never sold them any separately. But if you join it for any of my program, you have this. So it's kind of self-test, where you test through your body so you know where you are lacking of mobility, and then you have correctional exercises you can start to include into your workout routines. And mobility is something I personally never took time to add it into my workout. So I was thinking that it's not worth of it kind of doing mobility workout, because it doesn't make you feel, obviously you feel good of doing it, but it doesn't feel that hard, like that you are doing some cardio session or you do some strength session, so you feel good about yourself after you are chasing kind of that feeling after you get to work out. And mobility is like that, okay, you did something, but you don't feel like that you really worked out. But mobility is something that you could be incorporating into your warm-ups, into your cooldowns, even between the sets, if you have, especially if you have a longer rest time and you don't know what to do and you don't want to watch only your phone. So those are ways, and I personally try to include it into my warm-ups, and doing maybe sometimes between the sets, because I'm not the guy who usually, when workout is done, I'm not doing any cool down. I usually don't have time anymore for that. But this is important thing is with mobility is that you don't need to do workouts, don't need to be long. It's a good mobility workout is 1 to 10 minutes. So even if you do 1-2 exercises for your problem zones, or even maintaining those what you have good, already good mobility, it's more than enough. It's the more important is that you do it consistently. So mobility workout is definitely something what I didn't know, what I wish I would know earlier. And those are just the greatest benefits of doing it. Then number four is consistent strength training. So there are so many studies about improving how strength training helps. Like, it's not that you don't become bodybuilder. That is not my goal either. But it just helps you to your health. There is so many health benefits. Like, I don't want to start listing them here, but it's a lot less what most people think what you need to do. So if you get 2 to 4 workouts per week, and one workout, let's say it's a 20 to 45 minutes, that's more than enough to get a massive health benefits and feeling already so differently into your body. And because if, especially if you are older, at around the age of 30, 35, we are starting to lose naturally muscle mass. So including that strength training, some form of it, and doing it in a proper way, using weights or some kind of resistance. You can do it obviously with the body weight too, but it really aiming for that you are training close to failure. It doesn't mean you can do 1 to 5 exercises, doing 2 to 3 sets each exercise, and that is a good workout, like including exercises like squats, some push-ups, some back exercises, some kind of rowing exercises or pull-ups. So just the basic exercises. It doesn't need to be some fancy YouTube workouts what looks funny when you are looking like you are wrapping like 8 different bands and looking the most viral videos. Those are really what are not most beneficial, most helpful. It's just the basic exercises like squats, deadlifts, lunges for legs, and for push-ups, rowing exercises, just the simple shoulder presses. Those are the most beneficial exercises you could be doing, and just doing it consistently. And I learned it. I was earlier doing it when I was playing ice hockey professionally. I was obviously strength training a lot to improve my performance, but now for the last 3 years, I have been doing it consistently 2 to 4 times, and not my workouts. They have barely never lasted longer than 1 hour. Most of the times they are around 30-minute workouts, and 2 to 4 times. I aim for most of the weeks, 3 times per week. Some weeks it's going to be 2. Some weeks, if I have more time, not much going on, I might aim for 4 times, but that's very, very rare. So 3 times, 2 to 3 times is for me kind of sweet spot where I'm aiming for. And then last habit, what I feel that have had the most biggest impact in my life is my sleep. And this is something what I didn't understand when I was younger. Obviously, you know, you go out, you sleep a couple hours, you are good to go. If I went out having some drinks late nights, it was maybe, it was like a little bit dizzy next morning. By 11, 12 o'clock in the morning, you were like that, nothing happened, it's okay. You could keep going, you could work out. And now even I don't need, it's a 1-2 drinks and my sleep is how it's impacting for my sleep. Alcohol or something, I know that next day is basically gone, and if I happen to drink more, then it's you need like a lot more days to recover. So it takes 2-3 days to get back to that. But it's not only about alcohol. It's more what makes a bigger difference. What have made for me is a regular sleep routine. So I aim for going to bed every single day, 7 days a week at the same time. So it's for me, it's around 10 o'clock in evening and getting up around 6:30, depending. Like some days I might fall asleep like 10:30, but some days it's 10 o'clock, I go to bed a bit earlier. And obviously this is something that you can't always impact. I'm still refereeing, playing ice hockey myself, or going sometimes out. So it's obviously not going to happen every single day, but still trying to keep that routine as much as possible, especially during the week, because it's not about being perfect every single day, but aiming for to build that routine. So if you end up watching, like obviously sometimes you feel like that you would like to watch some TV, some series, you are watching Netflix or something, and one more episode of some series what you want, but I have made rules for myself that I gotta stop by 10 o'clock latest, and then starting my sleep routine, going to bed. And I know that by 10:30, usually I'm falling asleep. And that when you have that kind of sleep routine, it helps so much. There is such a big health benefits. And if you look just the studies, like comparing, like I feel it too, but if you look even studies, like if you sleep less than 7 hours, you are most likely you are eating, also study like comparing people who are sleeping 5 to 6 hours comparing to full 7-8 hour night of sleep, and those people who slept less on average eat 300 calories more. So you are craving more sweets, more kind of unhealthy stuff to get that dopamine. You don't have that kind of willpower to decide when you make decisions what you are going to eat. So there is a study. So if you happen like to have some hangover, you didn't have a good night of sleep, you are craving all the time something sweet or like kind of junk food, there is a reason for that, and that is probably your sleep. So, and other ways how it's impacting, obviously when you are not well rested, you don't have time to move around, you don't maybe even realize it, but it's all kind of, it's not only about amount of steps, but all kind of like a facial impressions, how you are, if you are using your hands, like we here in Italy, people like to talk a lot of with their hands. And it's all these kind of things, what are affecting, how many calories you are actually burning, what your body needs outside of your workouts. And that obviously impacts also your body composition and makes things so much easier. So these are simple things, simple habits. If I think back what I wish I would know, what I would try to prioritize as quickly as possible, and what I feel like that I have been doing pretty well. Obviously, I'm not some saint or who is doing everything perfectly. So I go out, I have alcohol, I do things, but I feel like that those basic, consistent, everyday habits are pretty okay. And that makes me feel good about myself and how my health have been. And at least I know that I have done everything I could, because it's not being about being perfect all the time, but making it as good as possible and giving yourself the best chances to age healthier and live also quality life, not only long life, but improving quality of life, your life as long as possible. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, I would really appreciate if you could leave a 5-star rating. Thank you for all those who have done it in Spotify, in Apple Podcasts. They are helping a lot to reach out more people. And if you have any thoughts about it, would love to hear from you. So feel free to send me DM in my Instagram or shoot me email turo@fitmitturo.com. So thank you for listening and talk to you soon.
Hold up, friend. Do you love Fit Me Turo Fitness Podcast? If so, the best way to say thank you is to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review on iTunes. I know every podcaster wants you to leave a review, but it's because those reviews help the podcast to reach more people. I truly want to know what you think and if this particular episode resonated with you. Would you also please share it? Either send a link to someone who you think will find it valuable or take a screenshot and post it into your social media and tell your friends and family why they should listen it. Make sure you tag me so I can hear your feedback and give you a little love. And you know, if you aren't already following me on Instagram or TikTok, that's the perfect time to hit that follow button. Thank you for being here and listening to Fit Me Turo Fitness Podcast.